In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, at about 4 o'clock this morning, I almost tore up my sermon completely and decided to just speak to you about the marches yesterday. I didn't really do that. I didn't destroy the whole sermon. I left part of it because I do think it's important for us to all understand what Palm Sunday is really all about. But I have hardly ever, in fact, I'm not sure that I have ever been as taken as I was with the courage and with the articulate passion of the young people who spoke at the marches and with the people who attended. Obviously, there is a passion growing in our country and around the world against the violence that has been so devastating to many, particularly young people. The statistics about deaths in Chicago alone are enough to break your heart. There is such similarity between what happened yesterday and what was happening on that first Palm Sunday. Such similarity. When you think of people, just normal, average, everyday people, getting on trains or going in cars or buses and going to a place where they could help form however a ragtag group it might have been, to join with a larger march to protest. And they were saying exactly the same thing that Jesus' followers were saying that first Palm Sunday. Save, rescue, Savior. When you contrast that with our authorities, or at least our president, who had visions of a grandiose 4th of July military parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, you get exactly the same dynamic that was in play that day in Jerusalem. Jesus and his followers coming through one gate of Jerusalem in great humility. And the Roman soldiers in all of their armor and all of their glory coming from the opposite side. It's easy to understand how people eventually rise up and say, enough is enough. I have heard so many times in the past few months, couple of months at least, people say prayers and wishes are not enough. But without prayer, we can do so little. Prayers are necessary because we don't have Jesus we can put at the head of the march and let him lead us on. We are now his body. We are the ones who must take his place. And we need to be the ones with courage. I am so awed by the young people of this country, by the actions they took yesterday, by the adults who supported them. And I pray that God will help them, and we can in fact see the changes that they were marching for. I'm going to switch back to my regular Palm Sunday sermon, so you may notice a little bit of difference here. But it's important to understand the reality of what was going on that day in Jerusalem about the year 30. The town was overflowing with Jews preparing for the Passover, one of the most important religious observances during which they gathered in Jerusalem. The Roman dignitaries and troops were also arriving in Jerusalem in their own triumphal celebration. Rome chose that very time to make a show of force in order to stave off any uprisings or other unpleasantries. And it's important to remember that they were in fact celebrating the emperor who had himself been named the Son of God. Passover commemorates God's protection of the Jews during his last and most horrible plague upon the Egyptians, the death of their firstborn sons. But the Jews were instructed to mark their houses with the blood of a lamb painted over the door so that they would be spared. God's plague, in which many died, including the Pharaoh's son, finally persuaded the Pharaoh to set the slaves free and let the Exodus begin. So the humiliation of the demonstration of dominance by the Romans and the massive show of power by the Romans was the very last thing that the people of Jerusalem would have wanted during their Passover celebration. In contrast to the Roman parade from the western gates of town, Jesus rode into town on a lowly donkey, with his followers throwing palm branches and cloaks and shouting, "Hosanna!" It's interesting to think that we believe that word is a cheer. Hosanna, Hosanna. But it has Latin, Greek, and Hebrew backgrounds, and the meaning of that word was save, rescue, savior. The people were yelling for Jesus and begging him to save and rescue them. Jesus was deliberately mocking the Romans by forming his own ridiculously humble parade. There was no reason to think that he was going to be miraculously transformed from a modest holy man to a heroic warrior who would suddenly battle victoriously against the legions of Roman soldiers with their armor and their swords and their majestic stallions. And Jesus knew what he had been sent to do. His followers believed that Jesus was about to deliver them from the hands of those who had enslaved and marginalized them, and that was out of sheer desperation on their part. They knew he loved and cared for the lost and hungry, the sick and the lame, the unlovable and the unclean, and they wanted to be rescued, just as our young people yesterday want to be rescued. What they got instead was a mortal man, one who would be crushed by the Romans. with the complicit help of the religious leaders who feared him. And in the end, his faithful followers even had to borrow a tomb where they could lay his body. It was enough to quash all their dreams. It is a very hard story to hear. And it is hard to process their fickle change of tone from cheering to jeering and shouting, "Crucify him!" Over the next week, we're going to hear a lot of stories. Starting today, we're going to hear the Passion. But I beg you, as we listen to these stories, to keep in mind what is happening in our own lives, right here, right now, today. I hope that you will pray with fervor and that you will find a way to support those who are crying so loudly for deliverance from the danger. I hope that you will enter Holy Week open to the stories of history we hear, listening with your hearts as well as your minds. Amen.